Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is The Eds with Eddie Judge and Edwin Arroyave. The Husbands Know Best, a Tucci's production.
Hey guys, welcome to The Eds podcast. My name is Eddie Judge.
And I'm Edwin Arroyave.
If you're listening to this podcast, you probably know we are the better halves of Teddy and Tamara. But not a lot of people know much about us other than what they've seen on TV. So let's get into it. We're going to start today with getting to know each other. Sound good?
Yeah, no, it sounds great. I'm excited to get this thing started finally.
Awesome. Well, let's start with a few questions. I want to know a little bit more about you, Edwin. Where did you grow up?
So I was born in Bogota, Colombia. My parents and I came to the U.S. when I was 6 years old in search of that American dream. However, that American dream quickly became an American nightmare because due to some unfortunate circumstances, my family lost everything we had. So much so that at the age of 15 years old, I had to become the head of household. And at the time, I was lucky enough to get a job working at a call center, which was probably not the best ideal type of job for me because I was very shy and I was very timid, but I quickly got the courage to do this job I did not want to do just out of my desperation to help my family out. At this point, I was just tired of seeing my mom not be able to pay for the rent at the end of the month. I was tired of us running out of food at the end of the month because we lived on food stamps. I was tired of my siblings, mother and I, living in this tiny little bedroom without any windows. And finally, I was just tired of like roaches waking me up in the middle of the night. So really the avoidance of pain is what caused me to take on something that really demanded more than I thought I was worth at the time. And at the time, I even though I was very shy and I was very timid, the one thing that I did have going for me was I was a big dreamer, man. At 12 years old, I remember my mom would go to work and I would just stay home by myself and I would visualize how one day I was going to make $100,000 a year by the age of 21 years old. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I just knew I was going to figure it out. And it just, I kept thinking about it all the time. I became obsessed with it. And so sure enough, when I got the job at 15 years old, I just started focusing on what I could control, which at the time was my activity and my attitude. And I just had faith that the right people would come in front of me to sort of make the impossible possible. And sure enough, I became the youngest manager in company history at that point. I started making some pretty good money at the time from a kid from Huntington Park. I started making about $1,000 a week. But more importantly, I became the right hand of the VP of sales of that company. And then 3 years later, he comes into my office and he says, "Hey, I'm going to start this home security company and I'm going to resign." And he says to me, "I can't guarantee you the 70 grand a year that you make here, but if you make this work, you can possibly double, triple, quadruple what you make here." And the first thing I thought was, well, first of all, you don't have to be that smart to make six, seven figures a year, or eight figures a year. You just have to have common sense and drive. And that's exactly what I did. I used common sense. I said, this guy's making 250 grand a year and he's resigning because he thinks he could make millions in this industry that's untapped. Second thing I thought was, man, if this guy's willing to mentor me how to start a company from the ground up, I'm like, this is exactly what I needed, because I didn't graduate. I didn't go to college. I graduated with a 1.8 GPA, and I just needed a mentor at the time. And then lastly, I was just a huge dreamer. I remember I would always ditch school, which is probably why I ended up with a 1.8 GPA, but I literally would drive to like Beverly Hills and Hollywood Hills. I did fifth, sixth period, go to Beverly Hills, Hollywood Hills. And I was like, whoa, people look different here. People dress different here. The food tastes better here. And, but what was interesting, what got me to Hollywood Hills and Beverly Hills was, this is back in 1995, and Ricky Martin was a big hit back then. Like all the ladies wanted Ricky Martin. So I remember reading this magazine, I think it was Us Magazine, and it talked about Ricky Martin shopping at Emporio Armani. So I looked up Emporio Armani. I'm like, oh, that's in Rodeo Drive. Let me go drive over there. And maybe if I started dressing like Ricky Martin, maybe the chicks would pay more attention to me. So that's actually how I ended up on the West Side from the East Side. And it was kind of like a Pretty Woman kind of scene, in that I literally walked into Emporio Armani with size 42, 501 jeans. So my waist size was 42, 501 jeans, some Harleys, and a wife beater. And that's how I walked into the store. And funny enough, the guy that basically took care of me became a really good friend of mine and like started hooking me up with all these deals at Emporio. So I started dressing nicer. And yeah, girls kind of started paying attention to me once I started dressing a little nicer. So it kind of worked, right? But anyways, that's how it started. And so when I got that opportunity, everyone told me I was crazy, because how are you going to leave this job that pays you, you know, $70,000 a year with a 401k plan and all that good stuff for this unknown? But really, my dream was bigger than any excuse that I could make on why I wasn't going to take the opportunity. Another part of my dream is I promised my dad at 10 years old that when he got out of jail, he'd never have to work a day in his life. And wow. I promised my mom at 12 years old that one day I was going to buy her a house. So again, my dreams were bigger than any excuse that I could give myself on why it couldn't happen. And I took the plunge and I went after it. And here we are 25 years later. You know, the company's made over $600 million, and just last year alone it did $200 million, and we're sort of just getting started. But it definitely took a leap of faith.
That's amazing. That's really incredible. And I want to go back a little bit to when we started, about your story where you were with your family. And one of the first questions I had was, did you have a mentor guide you through your dreams? Because having a dream is one thing, but executing on that dream and figuring out how to get there is really the key, right? And you don't need a Harvard degree for that. You need, like you said, you need a will, you need tenacity, and then you need guidance, right? So you answered that question by telling me that this guy that, you know, took you under his wing and said, "Hey, you want to make $1 million? Let's go open up this business." My question to you is, how did that work while you were still living with your parents? I mean, before you started making the $70,000 or the $1,000 a week, were you still living at home? Were you inspiring your family? Were you driven by trying to get out of that?
Yeah. So I was, so great question. Yeah. I was driven because at 10 years old. So what happened is when we first came to the US, 2 weeks after coming to the US, our home got raided by law enforcement. And that day, both my parents ended up in jail. And my sister and I ended up in a foster home.
Okay.
And then 8 months later, my parents get acquitted of all charges. And now my sister and I think that this nightmare is over. However, the nightmare was just beginning, because every year after that, our home would get raided at least once a year. And then finally, when I was 10 years old, so my dad would go to Colombia, they couldn't catch him. He'd come back and forth. Finally, when I was 10, they were able to arrest him. And this time they put him away for a long time. And the cops were nice enough to allow me to talk to him before they took him in. And his last words were, "Son, you need to become the man of the house." And when I turned 15, I could finally legally go after a job. I just started applying everywhere. And the thing was, no one would hire me because I was so shy and timid that during the interviews, I'd get so nervous that I'd start stumbling my words, and then I'd start sweating. And then, so they probably thought I was on drugs. So finally, a buddy of mine that knew my situation says, "Hey, Edwin, I found this company. They hire anyone. Just show up, and I promise you that they're hiring you." I'm like, "Are you sure?" It's like, "Dude, I sent the last seven people there. They've all gotten hired." So I, of course, get all excited. I drive down to this job interview, and at the time, I had a Nissan Sentra that had no air conditioning and had those roll-up windows. So it was kind of a hot day. So I get in there, and I'm thinking, "Oh man, I'm already hot. So I'm kind of sweating, but not too much." And I'm like, "I hope I don't sweat in this interview." Well, sure enough, 2 minutes into the interview, the guy is handing me over a paper towel. And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh shoot, he's noticing that I'm sweating." So then, of course, the sweat just comes full throttle. I look like I ran a marathon. And this is why whenever I do speak on stage, you'll never see me dressed in white, because that day I had a white shirt and you could see through the entire shirt, because that's how much I sweated during this interview. And I don't get the job. So I remember walking back to my car and I was just discouraged as heck. And I go into the restroom to kind of clean myself up, and I just start praying to God at the time. I just say, "Hey, God, I need a shot. Just give me a shot. I promise you, if you can help me find a job, I'll work harder than anybody's ever worked. And I promise you, I'll always praise your name on an opportunity if you just give me the opportunity." And sure enough, as soon as I get out of that restroom, there's a gentleman outside, and he says, "Hey, kid, when do you start?" I said, "I don't start. You guys are completely full." And he starts laughing. He's like, "Who told you that?" I'm like, "Well, the guy I just interviewed with." So he takes me over to the HR room. He says, "I need you to hire this kid. I need him to start tomorrow at 3 p.m. And I started it the next day. But here's the crazy part. That same person is the same person that 6 years later helps me start the security company.
Wow.
So I'm a firm believer that in life, people just need one shot. They need a system. They need a leader that believes in them, that's going to be patient with them, that's going to show you how to do it. And that's exactly what happened to me. That's why I always tell people, like, "Look, guys, if you guys want to make 6, 7, 8 figures a year, whatever you want to make, you need two things. You need to find an opportunity that allows you to make that kind of money." Because if you can't find an opportunity that allows you to make that kind of money, what makes you think you're going to make that kind of money? And then the second one, which is the hardest one, is you need to find someone who's done it before, who has a vested interest in your success, that's going to help you do it. And if you could find that person, you're pretty much going to make it unless you just don't work hard. But the hard part is most people that make that type of money aren't going to take you under their wing and show you exactly how they do it. So, you know, that was my story. I'm literally the story of, like, one person gave me a shot and I ran with it and I never looked back.
That's amazing. And do you ever wonder why this person gave you that shot, or did it just kind of manifest as the journey began? And I mean, obviously you asked God and God placed them there, and he gave you, he answered your prayers. But what was this guy seeing your, did he ever tell you, like, I saw your potential, I saw your energy, I saw what you have or what you wanted?
I honestly think that the whole time they did hire anyone. It's just that I got so nervous that the guy in the HR room probably honestly thought I was on drugs or something. Like, why is this kid breaking? Why can't he stop sweating? What the hell is wrong with this kid?
Yeah.
And I just think when he saw me, it was more of like, we need bodies in here. Let's get this guy in here. And then I just, you know, I took on this like mindset of an overachiever. I was going to outwork you. I was going to, I got obsessed with like repetition, and, you know, instead of getting, I got energized by it, and I was going to outwork you. I was going to, you know, I started showing up to everything. Yeah. Like most of the people that were way more talented than I was, they'd never show up on Fridays. They definitely never showed up on Saturdays. I like showed up every day.
Yeah.
There was these leadership development, programs that they had. They never showed up. I always showed up.
Wow.
I remember I just went up to the top guy in the whole company and I said, hey, I went with my little Radio Shack recorder and I was like, can you just record your pitch for me? And he recorded it. I literally learned that thing verbatim. I learned it word for word. And I basically kind of took his confidence. I started to talk like him. I took his tonality. I started to basically walk like him, like everything. And I got my confidence from that, because really in life, it's just confidence. The more certain person is always going to influence the less certain person. So that's how I kind of got my start.
That's amazing. That's truly a American dream story, where, you know, rags to riches, you just work your ass off. And I can't emphasize enough how important that is for people that don't have the opportunities to grow up with money and, you know, silver platter and, you know, Ivy League schools and all that. It really is a combination of hard work and tenacity.
Well, I think a big part of that too is we did have some money and then it all got taken away. Cause again, you can't improve on something you're not aware of.
Right.
And I think, you know, growing up, I did have a taste of what having some money felt like. And then all of a sudden, like, we don't even have enough money for food. Whereas like, if you don't know any better, like you don't know the difference and you don't know what you don't know, right? But once you know, you're like, wait a minute, this is why I want to work my butt off. Like, you know, you've never flown first class. Like, you're probably not going to know what that feels like. So why would you want to go work your butt off to go get it?
Right.
But like, once you do, you're like, wait a minute, this is kind of where I belong. I need to go work my ass off to go make that happen.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Let's hear about you, man. I know you have an awesome story as well. So
where'd you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Anaheim. I was born in Mexico, came at the age at, I think, age two. And this is going way back, but I'll condense it. I think this is one of the reasons why my wife loves me because of this story. Came to America with my family. I'll never forget, we lived in a garage with, you know, a bed, and it was my aunt, my grandmother, and myself, and these family in Fullerton was kind enough to allow us to live there for about 6 months, I believe. I don't know the exact timing because I was so little, you know, everything, you know, just happens. But fast forward, we worked our way up to an apartment, and then from an apartment to a house, and then moving from city to city. But for me, I think what lit a fire under my ass was my aunt telling me at the age of 13, saying, "Hey, you know, you got to start contributing. You got to get a job." And I'm like, "A job? I'm 13. Where am I going to get a job?" She's like, "Go down the street and start mowing lawns or something, but you need to work." And I'll never forget that day. That's actually when I met my adopted dad. And we share this story together all the time. We talk about it because we were in business together at one point. And I'm sitting there on my bike looking at him, asking him for a job. and he's like, "A job? What do you want a job for? You play with my dogs all the time and you're always having fun. You're just a kid." I'm like, "Well, I need to make money. Can I mow your lawn?" And he's like, "Okay. Well, what do you want to get paid?" I'm like, "I don't know. You tell me what I want to get paid." And it was that conversation that we had at that moment that we always go back to when we have our stories that we talk about, you know, how we met. And I said, "How about $10? And I started mowing lawns for $10 and then doing jobs here and there, throwing the paper. Sundays sucked because the paper was so big. And then he started renovating his home. So he hired me on the summer, and I picked up one of my friends to go work with him. And we were just sanding this old 1960s home down to the wood and just working our ass off to make a living so that we can go hang out and pick up chicks. You know, everything was driven around, you know, what motivates you. And at the time, of course, girls were motivating. But he was my mentor. He just graduated law school. He was doing very well. He was working all the time. And, one of the things that I told myself when I was a kid is I never want to work that hard. I never want to work, you know, 12-hour days, 16-hour days and have no life. And it wasn't until I graduated high school and I went to go get a job that I realized I don't have any skills. I don't have anything, you know, to give to anybody. So nobody would hire me. And I got to the point where I went back to work with my now father, and he gave me the opportunity to go to school. So I went back to school, started working on business, and I was like you, very shy. I was afraid to talk to people. You know, I had opportunities, but always very shy. And I took a course in college, funny enough, for acting. And the reason I took that course is because I wanted to get my confidence standing in front of an audience and talking about whatever I needed to talk about. Because my vision was one day I'm going to be standing in front of people in a nice suit talking business, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was my vision. And so the acting classes really gave me that self-confidence, especially drama. Drama really helped me get into myself and what makes me tick, what makes me emotional. And it's really hard to cry on the spot. It really is. But those are the skills that I picked up that really got to know who I am as a person, what makes me happy, what makes me sad. And I'll never regret that moment where I learned who I really was because of these acting classes. Now I did do some acting and, you know, some shows on stage and all that, that contributed to my confidence. And it was a lot of fun. I got what we would call the acting bug. You know, like, oh, I want to be on stage. I want to be, you know, a lead singer. I want to be a lead role. And then I tried acting for the camera and that was nerve wracking. There's something about a big lens looking at you in your face, you know, and going, okay, do something. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I struggled with it, but from there, I just went on and started working with my father. We started building his practice from the ground up. I think we started with like 4 employees or 3 employees. And by the time I left the firm, we had about 35 employees, over 3,000 cases, maybe 4 attorneys working for us. And I was, you know, I was leading that business. It really taught me so much. I started from being a file clerk to, you know, working on cases to managing a team to, you know, managing the firm. So it gave me a huge, it was like one of my girlfriends at the time said, that's your MBA. You just got your MBA running a business like this. So for me, the biggest takeaway from that was the complete opposite of what I thought as a kid. I don't want to work that hard. You know, when I got to the point where like, I got no other option but to work that hard. That's when my life changed. That's when I started working hard. And that's when I realized, even if I have to work 24 hours a day, I'm going to have to do it because I have tasted the finer things in life. I do want a nicer car. I do want to fly first class. I do want to go to the finer restaurants, you know? And that was exactly what motivated me at the time. I want to be, you know, wealthy. Growing up with nothing was a big part of it too. Like, hey, I didn't have anything growing up, barely had any clothes to go. I mean, I didn't even have hand-me-downs. I'm not going to wear my aunt's clothes, right? And she's only a couple years older than me. But the struggle was, I think, what led me to push myself to always work my ass off. And it got to the point where, you know, I think it took us about 13 years to build this practice up. And it gave me the confidence that I can do anything I want to do. And then that's probably when I met my wife. You know, it was a life-changing moment for me because here she is on this national television show and she's telling me she wants to open up a business. She doesn't know what yet. It's either a fitness business or a bar. And I'm like, well, I don't know anything about alcohol and being a health nut all my life. I don't really want to. So let's go with the gym. Even though I know it's crowded space. I did do personal training, I think in my early 18, 19 years old. And again, I learned real fast. This is not going to pay the bills. This is a great business. I love helping people, but it's not going to pay the bills. So yeah, I mean, it's for me, it was being hungry and wanting the best for myself, for my life, because I really didn't have a father that was there for me. I had an adopted father that I, you know, took me under his wing and taught me what I needed to learn, which was to work, work hard. If you want the finer things in life, you got to work hard. And 9 to 5 is not enough. That's not working hard. And I think that was how my prayers were answered. I was just thinking, how am I going to do this? I can't get a job. Nobody's going to hire me. I have no skills. And, you know, what am I going to do? And it took meeting the right people in my life path to get the answers and see the path, right? And getting there. But I think that's the biggest lesson I learned in my life and business is you can have all the energy and desires and dreams and visions you want. But if you don't know what route to take, it's going to be a tough route. It's going to be a really tough route. But when you meet the right person that sees your vision, whether it's one person or many, you become very powerful, very, mm-hmm. very powerful. So,
yeah, well, there's something, so much you said there that I relate to. You know, I think, you know, what I've realized is what gets people to sort of move and finally take action towards what they really want to do is, number one, the avoidance of pain, right? Where something's just hurting you so bad that you're not tolerating it anymore, or like the pleasure of where you're going. So for me, it's always been both, right? The avoidance of pain, like I was just tired of roaches waking me up in the middle of the night. I was tired of sleeping in that little bedroom, right? But the other thing I did, which sounds like you did as well, was knowing the pleasure of where I was going. And I call that like touching the dream before you have what you need.
Right.
You know, you mentioned that you got a little taste of kind of that good life. And it's what sort of made you think, okay, well, I need to go back there because it's a lot different than from where I came from. So, and then the other question I had for you, can you still cry on camera?
No, I never was able to. That was the problem. That's why I didn't become an actor, because I couldn't cry on camera. The instructor was like, yeah, nice. You're not going to make it.
I thought maybe you got to that point.
Oh, it was the hardest thing. I mean, what I could do, Edwin, was sing and dance. That was my fun. I could do that all day long because that was, in fact, I do remember distinctively getting the bug after a show and people, there's nothing more exhilarating so far in my life than getting a standing ovation from an audience after just perform your ass off. You know, maybe speaking, public speaking would be the same, but it's such a rush. It is an incredible feeling. You feel so successful and you feel so admired, and it's a great feeling. It really is.
So speaking of that, it's so funny. So at 17 years old, I was a background dancer for a drag queen. And we were called the Pretty Boys, and we would basically go to all these nightclubs in Hollywood.
Awesome.
And we would perform at 21 and over clubs. And we were probably the worst background dancers ever, but it was, like you said, you're on stage, you kind of get that feeling. You're like, wow. And then, you know, at that point, like chasing women was like my thing, you know? It was like, yes, I want to do this. Whatever's going to get me close to women, I want to do it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So how do you think your culture has helped you in your success? I mean, you touched on a little bit about you had money at one point and you lost it, and then you made it and you lost it. How has your culture really helped you, you know, drive in this world, in America, basically?
I think for me, even though like it was rough growing up, the one thing that my mom did that was great for me is she always gave me a lot of love. My dad gave me a lot of love. So, and they put me in sports. And, you know, that taught me how to compete. That kept me distracted from all the bad things that I probably could have gotten into living where I grew up. But, you know, showing me that love, I think really, and showing the, you know, my dad would always tell me like, hey, you got to take care of your mom. Like, no matter what, you got one mom, you're going to take care of her and no excuses. And at a very young age, I just got, the culture was like, you take care of your family first. And I've always been very close with my fam. You know, my siblings are kind of like my kids. I've been taking care of them since I was 15. and I've been taking care of mom and dads for a while, but it's what drives me today. You know, I think, you know, if you live for yourself, you can settle for less, but if you live for others, it requires all of who you are. And, you know, I think if you're just living for yourself, eventually it gets old, but when you got people depending on you, it's that nice little push that you need. But, and obviously the food's great. So,
you know, I have the exact same answer because my family didn't have any money. I was obviously growing up and they also put me in sports. I had Pop Warner football when I was, I think 7 or 8. And I'll never forget, we showed up to sign up for football and they said, oh, well, his age group is all full, but the next age group up is available. And I'm like, I want to play. Sure enough, I was the scrawniest little kid on this team, but I was kicking ass because, you know, I want to play. And I'll never forget that day. My grandma was like, you sure you want to do this, Mijo? Because they're bigger than you. They're going to run you over. I'm like, I don't care. I want to play. But the most important thing that you said just now that really stood out is the biggest thing I got from my culture and my family is love. That is one thing, that unconditional love that this family brings, to my life. And, I mean that in a way where, cause I had uncles that were into drugs and taking drugs, not selling drugs, but just doing drugs. They were just not really great for society. And this is what I had to look up to. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, at one point I just didn't want anything to do with that. And I thought I got to get out of this situation. I admire, especially my grandmother, who's 98 years old now. She still talks about her children, these adult children, as their little mijos, right? No matter what, they're always going to be there. She's living in a home right now and she's talking about bringing them to live with her so she can take care of them, right?
Yeah.
Growing up, of course, I would be around all kinds of people, you know, the jocks, the cheerleaders, the druggies, the smart people, you know, it's just the athletes, the jocks. And for some reason, I always enjoyed the different types of friendships, but I never really was involved in doing the drugs or selling the drugs or, but I would literally go to my friend's house and watch his parents do drugs on their living room table. That's how I was introduced to drugs, not because, you know, my family was doing them, but yeah. I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want anything to do with that. So it's funny how your situation is you're presented with this thing in front of you and you're like, well, what am I going to do with it? Right. Do I punt? Do I sweep right? Do I turn around and run away? What do I do? And as a kid, I fortunately made the right decision. And that was to, you know, avoid all the illegal stuff that was presented to me in front of me.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
You mentioned you were shy, you were timid. How much of your confidence came from women starting to pay attention to you? You mentioned when you were younger, you started like liking women and you know, basically what every teenager does. Was that a thing for you? Women started liking you, you got some confidence from it?
I think if I go back, I had women that liked me, but I never had the money to take them out. Right. Cause it was, you need money to have a girlfriend and, right. And I didn't have the confidence. I didn't have the job. I didn't have any of that. But what I started doing is working on myself. You know, that's mm-hmm. the reason why I started working any job I can to make money and to hopefully build some confidence, because now that's the element I'm missing. Right. And yeah. It wasn't enough. It wasn't until after high school when I started lifting weights and getting into bodybuilding and really, and of course acting classes and getting into who I am as a person, what's going to drive me. That's what gave me the confidence. That's when I started, you know, I had the money, I had the looks, I had the body, I had the car and I started getting the attention. But it opened my eyes to realize that the woman I want to spend the rest of my life with does not have to be a supermodel anymore, right?
She
just has to be attractive and she just has to like me.
You know? So, you know, what's funny. It's so funny you mentioned this, because the thing that Teddy gets pissed when I say, I mean, my wife, I think she's beautiful, right? But I always say, like, the reason I loved you is your marriage material.
Well, what age did you meet Teddy? Because, you know, I agree with everything you're saying. And for me, as you're talking, I'm like, it took me till 35 years old to figure that shit out.
Yeah, same.
I mean, when I met Tamara, I was like, I'm over it. I don't want to date any hot chicks in Newport Beach anymore. I'm just going to make a bunch of money. And when I get older, I'll have a young hot chick next to me. And that's it. That's my life. You know, right. I've given up. And suddenly this beautiful girl falls into my lap. And it's a great story. I'll tell you about it. But I don't think I settled. I know you didn't settle. I mean, our wives are pretty damn hot.
Yes.
Right? And they are model material, but they're just incredibly smart, incredibly driven, and they're mm-hmm. so unique in that. I can't speak for your wife because I don't know her that well, but I know my wife had her struggles. She had her first child at 17, and she had that struggle as a single mom for years and years and years. And it's a tough life, and that drives you to mm-hmm. want to be more, you know. She had a great upbringing and her mom and dad were awesome. When we just had this conversation, but it wasn't until she was an adult that they got divorced, and that's when it really affected her. But here's a woman, I think she's just turned 41 years old. I'm 35 and 36, and we just meet, and it was love at first sight. I can't explain it to you. I've only heard about it, but what happened was my best friend Marcos was he was my fitness instructor when I started getting into teaching classes and all that 20 something years ago. And he calls me and he says, "Hey, bro, I need to borrow your house because I just bought this house where I live in right now. We're filming the show, The Real Housewives of Orange County, and we're just looking for a house. And I had furniture from my condo that I moved into this place, and there was rooms with no furniture. And he's like, we're just filming, looking for a house to move into. And I'm like, what? When did you get into filming? What? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you bringing Eva Longoria to my house? Is this what's going on? I'm excited. And he's like, no, bro. Wrong show. Sorry. It's The Real Housewives of Orange County. I don't know what that is, but mi casa, su casa. I'll be here. I'll open the door. And sure enough, he comes, knocks, opens the door. I look at this beautiful blonde. I see hearts. I see sparkles. I see fireworks, and my heart rate starts just running. And I'm like, what is wrong with me right now? What is going on? And we just locked eyes for, I don't know, it felt like 100 years. And, and of course she said the same thing. Like, she thought I was not wearing a shirt when I opened the door, and what I was. and Marcos always says, yeah, I had to kick her, like, you know, stop, you know, gazing, because A, you're married and the cameras are on.
so funny.
Oh God. It was such an interesting experience. And the sad part is that she was still married. But that didn't stop me from flirting a little bit, you know, asking, you know, getting questions and sending her a Facebook request. And she calls Marcos and tell him to take it back. I can't take a Facebook request because my husband at the time, you know, he's watching every step I take. And I'm like, all right, I guess
this probably didn't help. It was a good looking guy friend requesting her too, right? That probably doesn't help.
That doesn't help. Yeah. So fast forward about 6 or 8 months, the holidays hit. And of course, Marcos being the nucleus in our circle, we start running into each other at some of the same parties, holiday parties and all that. And I start getting to know her a little bit more, but we kept running into each other and we kept, you know, locking eyes and smiling and talking. And it was literally like we were meant to be, but we couldn't because we had this guy that was in the middle of it. And then I think New Year's happened after that. She left them. And 3 days later, Marco says she's available. And I'm like, okay, we're going to start dating. And it was probably a month after, because she had to get through this whole transition from leaving, you know, her ex. It was about a month later, we had our first date in La Jolla. I said, we got to go somewhere where nobody knows you and nobody knows me, you know, because I don't want anybody to know this, you know, because you're on TV. Yeah. And we went to this nice little restaurant I knew about in La Jolla, walked around, and I think somebody saw us, but didn't really say anything. They recognized her, but we just kept walking. And it was then that I realized, okay, my life's about to change. This is craziness. But being with her in public and trying not to think about it, you know, trying to have a regular, normal relationship conversation with this woman. I think that was what really helped her understand that I'm not after her for her TV status. I really want to get to know her. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what gave her the confidence, like, maybe I'll give this guy a shot, you know, because it's a weird situation. Even today, it's hard to make friends with people because she's shot on TV and you never know why they want to be your real friend, right?
Right, exactly.
You always question it. I mean, she's taught me to do that, but I'm pretty open. I'll accept anybody for who they are, what they drive, what they do, until they screw me or prove otherwise, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just open like that. So my wife though taught me you gotta be careful with, you know, why people want to be your friends.
You know, it's funny. I think when you know you really like someone, when the last thing on your mind is having sex with them.
Yeah.
Like you're so into getting to know them, you're so into the conversation, you're like, you know, the sex will probably come. That's not even, but like, if all you're thinking is sex from the get-go, that probably means, you know, you're probably not going to like her very much, or you probably don't really like her that much. When the last thing on your mind is sex, you know, you like that person.
Yeah, I agree. I think you hit the nail on the head right there. Totally. So how did you meet Teddy?
Well, ironically, so with Teddy, it's actually a pretty funny story. So we met at a nightclub and we were coming out of a nightclub 15 years ago. We were both beyond wasted, so much so that the next day when we woke up together in bed, we didn't remember each other's names, nor did we remember if we had slept with each other or not. Like we sort of thought we did, but we really couldn't confirm it, right? And what's funny is that the next morning she's driving me home and she looks at me and she says, "Edwin, I don't think we like had sex." And I said, why are you so certain? She's like, "Well, I normally don't date guys like you. You're just not my type. You're like wearing this low V-neck. You got long hair. Like, and I normally date like blonde guys with blue eyes and you're just not my type." So I didn't acknowledge the statement. And I just thought in time I'll win her over with my wit and my charm, or so I thought, because literally 8 months ago. So this whole time I'm thinking she was never really that into me.
Yeah.
So about 10 months ago, I'm going through photo books and I run into Teddy's scrapbook when she was in high school. It's like a vision board scrapbook. Wow. So I started looking at this scrapbook and I'm thinking, oh, how cute. These are all the things that Teddy was into when she was younger. And I run into the page where she has cutoffs of the people that her dream guys. And you could only imagine my surprise when staring back at me was Enrique Iglesias and Antonio Sabato Jr. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck? I thought she was only into dudes with blonde hair. Like, she totally negged me on purpose. Totally played me. So I called her up. I'm like, "Hey, wait a minute. You are into some dark haired guys, you know?"
That's awesome.
And but the whole time it was just funny seeing that. Yeah. But anyway, that's how we met. And little similar story to yours in that she was in the middle of getting a divorce and I had just had a baby 3 weeks prior to meeting Teddy.
Wow.
And but it was from a previous relationship and we had sort of a bad breakup where we just weren't going to get back together. And when I met Teddy and she dropped me back home, we're hanging out and she's like, "Is that ultrasound yours?" And I remember getting so nervous because what was I supposed to say? Like, what is she going to think? Like, and I said, "I think." And she said, "Well, how old?" And I told her 6 months because I just got so nervous, right? And she meets her, I think, a month into our relationship. And she's like, "Edwin, this isn't a 6-month-old baby. This is a month-old baby."
Yeah.
And but immediately she just, I mean, that's part of how she won me over. I mean, she took care of my daughter as if it was hers from the get-go. And
wow.
And she's known my daughter, you know, from the get-go, basically. She met her at a month, when she was a month old. And so that was kind of my moment. But then another great moment with Teddy was, again, I grew up in Huntington Park. So Huntington Park, don't get it confused with Huntington Beach. Polar opposites. A lot of people don't get it confused with Hancock Park. Huntington Park is Southeast LA. It's the opposite of Huntington Beach, right? And I took her to, you know, I still hang out with some of my old friends that I grew up with. And I remember taking her to one of my buddies' party that he had in Huntington Park. And this was like an old school kind of, call it, you know, it was just the way we grew up. And yeah. I thought, this girl's not going to last here an hour. In an hour, she's going to be like, "All right, we got to go. We got to get out of this freaking place." We stood there 6 hours. She didn't complain. She just had a great time. And she treated everyone with so much respect where she didn't think she was better than them. And I was like, okay, this is it. She's the one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially when you meet someone in the West Side, you know, you take them to the East Side and they're like, oh, get me the heck out of here. I'm too good for this place, right? No, she was, which again, and then especially with her background, with her dad being John Mellencamp and stuff, I mean, it was awesome to see her treat everyone with so much respect. And I knew that was, she was the one, you know. Now, speaking of negging, so when she told me that her dad was John Mellencamp, she's like, do you know who that is? I actually said no. But the reality is I did know who he was because when I lived in Huntington Park in those apartments, we used to like steal cable. Uh-huh. I forget how I used to do that, but I used to get all the VH1 videos and John Mellencamp's videos were always like number one. And, you know, they had the top 20.
Yeah.
And I would always see the John Mellencamp video. So I knew exactly who he was. But
did you know he had a daughter?
Oh, I had no clue that he had a daughter. But when she mentioned, oh, that's my dad, I didn't want to say yes right away because I didn't want her to think, oh, now he just likes me because I'm John Mellencamp's daughter. So I was like, no, but I knew who he was, right? And I just, again, I loved how down to earth she was. And I remember when I first met him, that was a nerve-wracking.
I bet.
I go to Indiana and we meet at a McDonald's. And all of a sudden,
I'm sorry to cut you off, but how long were you dating before you met him?
I think, if I remember correctly, it was about 5 months into our relationship or 4 months into our relationship.
Yes, I'd be nervous too.
Yeah. And we go to Indiana and then all of a sudden I don't know why we met at a McDonald's, but I just saw three SUVs and I'm not exaggerating, like three SUVs, dark SUVs, tinted windows. You would have thought it was the CIA and like three dudes in a suit come out and then all of a sudden it's John Mellencamp dressed in black with his shades. And he's like, hi, I'm John. And I was like, anyway, and then he gave me some shit that week. He's like, yeah, when you see these guys here, man, you mess with my daughter, you got to come get you. So you better not break my daughter's heart. And
every man has to say that. That's like a requirement.
With a stone face. Like he didn't say it jokingly either. And I was like, oh, don't you worry.
How long did it take you to win him over?
A couple of years.
Yeah.
Definitely a couple. I mean, he was never rude to me, but a couple of years, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where he's like, how is this Edwin guy making the kind of money he's making? Like, is he a fucking drug dealer or something? Like, so there was that. Like,
that's awesome.
So anyway, but he was always nice. But yeah, I would say it took a couple of years to kind of gain his respect and know that I was really gonna, you know, take care of his daughter, which I probably would have done the same.
Right here, right now, find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
So after winning him over and you know, that was 5 months, 2 years. No, you met him when you were dating 5 months. You won him over in 2 years. How long in your relationship was it before you both were casted, if you will, or cast for the Real Housewives?
So we dated for 2 years, got married. Speaking of the dad, so I never thought I was going to get married. Like, I was always just so scared of getting married that because everyone I met, I was getting a divorce.
Yeah.
And I was so scared of getting married that I was just trying to push and not get married. And at one point, I remember just telling Teddy, would you just have my baby? We don't have to get married. Just have a baby. And she's like, you're freaking nuts. Are you stupid? That's literally what she told me. And yes, I did ask. So anyway, one day out of nowhere, she's like, hey, what if we just get married in Paris? My dad's going to be touring and let's just last minute get married in Paris. And I remember always thinking that if I ever did get married, it was probably going to be last minute. It was probably going to be out of the country where I didn't have to worry about who do I invite, who do I not invite.
Yeah.
And it just made total sense. And then we got married. That was in 2011. We had our first child in 2012. Our second child in 2014. And then the end of 2017 is when she got approached to do the Housewives show. And the first thing I thought was, I immediately got scared because I hate the freaking cameras. Like, I've gotten a little more used to them lately. Like, but back then I like was really fearful of cameras.
How did she present it to you?
She just said she had this opportunity. There's this show called The Housewives and, you know, they're looking, you know, they're looking to audition, and then she nailed her audition. And then I just told her, look, I think you're going to probably end up getting it based on who she told me that they were also looking at. But I remember just thinking to myself, because it scared me so much, I'm like, okay, I always like things that challenge me. So that I liked. And then I went to go ask my friends, you know, people that in business, colleagues, like, do you think I should do this show? Everyone said no. They're like, that's going to end your marriage. What the hell are you doing? Your business is doing well. Like, that's the last thing you want to do. And at the time, Teddy and I weren't in a good place either. Like, we were in a very, very bad place.
Wow.
And we were such in a bad place that at the time I was thinking, okay, well, if she gets the show, because at the time, you know, she was just staying at home and she had just started All In. So she was starting to kind of get her life back, mm-hmm. you know, as far as like when she had the babies, like she stopped working, she stopped writing. And she became more dependent on me all the time to come home, and like she didn't really have a purpose. Mm-hmm. Not that raising kids is not, because that alone is a job.
It's huge.
In itself.
Yeah.
I think she was so used to being independent and working and doing her thing that, you know, she kind of lost herself. We started to kind of separate as far as like we weren't connecting. And again, we were such in a dark place that I'm like, well, maybe if she gets the show, she gets a little purpose, and then I won't, maybe I could just go, you know?
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
Wow.
But you know, what's interesting is that when you don't do something for a long time, you're going to dislike it. And like, if you don't go to the gym, if you haven't gone to the gym for the last 2 years, I promise you, you probably hate the gym.
Right? Yes.
If you haven't gone since 18 years ago, you probably hate the gym, right? So at some point, like nothing stays the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse.
Right.
And at the time, we just weren't working on a relationship.
Mm.
Like it was like I was doing my thing, she was kind of doing her thing. And what the show did, at least for me, it like made me focus again in the relationship, because I'm like, okay, well, I can't come out here and look divided, because that's going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
And I don't want to live that life. I mean, I don't want to see my kids. I don't want my kids to see that. And I remember just, okay, I'm going to work on this. And funny thing, when you start working on your relationship, you realize like, oh shit, our relationship is actually pretty, pretty damn cool. And it just kept getting better and better and better. So, you know, I kid with my friends. I don't think a lot of people know that, but most people say that housewives ruined, well, the thought is that the housewives have ruined your marriage. For Teddy and I, it actually saved our marriage.
Wow.
And we're actually closer than we've ever been. And
that definitely is an anomaly.
Where we're at. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. But again, it made us both work on something. And again, you start to realize, wow, like this is why I fell in love. But when you're not willing to work on the relationship, then you just start growing apart, right? Like if you just stop working on it, like you're going to get worse.
Yeah.
Right? Because again, you're either getting better or you're getting worse, but it's not going to stay the same. If all of a sudden you're not trying to improve that relationship and it's staying stagnant, I promise you it starts to decline.
But it certainly takes a team. It takes both of you to see the same thing, right? I'm sure she did her part and you did your part to bring this relationship back together. Yeah, that is an interesting point, because from my experience watching the show for so many years and being part of it, I've seen more divorces on this TV show than, than court. But that's amazing that it brought you guys back together and really solidified your relationship. Do you think it might have been because somebody put a microscope to your relationship that you thought, I'm not going to lose this. I'm a winner. I am not going to lose this. And I don't want an outside force to ruin what I have. You think that had a part in it?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, what was interesting is once the cameras are on you, like it brought accountability to me.
Yeah.
You know, it was, you know, back prior to that, there's nothing on, like, if I wanted to do something and I wanted to do it, I guess I could, right?
Yeah.
Nobody knew who I was. And I think once the cameras were on, like, it's like, oh, now you're accountable, right? Like, if you do something, the whole world's going to see it and all your kids are going to see it, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what, like, made me, you know, really focus on the relationship. And when I did, I was like, whoa, this is, what the hell was I even thinking? You know, I was just in a dark place myself. So
for me, I was single when I met Dharma, and I had to figure it out, bro. I, you know, the first year I'm like, what am I getting myself into? And I went in it like I do with all my relationships, just open arms, wide eyed. Let's just, you know, I'm up for a challenge. And, yeah. And like you, when I feel fear, I go after it. You know, that's one indicator that I know I have to overcome. Anything that scares me, I have to overcome. And yep. If it doesn't scare me, then it's probably not worth it. And it's been proven over and over that if it's not scary, it's probably not worth it anyway. So when I was involved in the show, the first year was a great experience until it wasn't, you know, because they made me look like the knight in shining armor, right? Coming in.
Was that the first year or half of the season? And then they turned on you, or was it the first year you were just like, the perfect couple?
The first three quarters of the year, it was the perfect couple. And then they turned on me at the end of the season, and I had to make a hard decision. Like, okay, first of all, I have no control here. They can edit it any way I can. And fortunately, because I had a legal background, I read that contract. So that was, you know, that was good experience. And then every year after, let me go back to where they turned on me.
Yeah, and how did they turn on you?
It wasn't necessarily that they turned on me. I don't think that's what happened. What happened was I was filming with my wife and I think it was Vicky and Brooks. And we were going to go film at the Catalina Island. And I was working all day. It was a Friday. I skipped breakfast. I skipped lunch. I was just trying to get all my work done because I couldn't work that weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And come 5 o'clock, okay, I finished my work, nothing in my stomach, jumped in the limo, had a drink. By the time we got to Long Beach to the ferry, I was drunk and got in the boat halfway to the island. Somebody said something stupid or she said something stupid, and it just made me so mad. I lost my cool. I lost control. And when we got to the island, she was kind of elbowing me, like, stop getting so angry. You know, cameras are on you. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. I don't just want to get off this island. I don't want to do this anymore. And I slept on it the next morning. I was fine, of course. And on the way back to the main island, I was like, I have to make a hard decision here, you know, because I honestly do not want to do this ever again. And if mm-hmm. I don't do this ever again, then I don't know what's going to be with this relationship, because this is a huge part of her life. I mean, this is her reality. And I had to flip a switch. It was a big mental moment for me in my life where, you know what? I don't want to do this, but I want to see what it is with her. And I flipped a switch in my head and I said, just do it, enjoy it, don't drink, and stay out of the camera. Right. Yeah. And that formula worked for me until today. I, you know, like you, I just run from the drama. I know it's not part of me. I don't want to be a sixth housewife. I don't want to be a part of it, but I want to support her 100% any way I can. And see her shine. And she's been amazing, you know, all these years, just not just in her skills, but tolerating this whole experience, you know, it's just drama. It's just completely the opposite. It's exactly what I stay away from in my life. You know, I do everything to stay away from drama. Yeah. And then it wasn't until, she got fired. I think it was 3 years ago. She got fired and, it really put her world upside down. I mean, 12 years doing this, it was her whole identity, and she was pretty much traumatized. I mean, it took me a year to talk her off the ledge. Like, you know, there's more to life than the housewives. And the whole experience, you know, from the moment it happened, when they told her, they basically kicked her to the curb, and she had to pick herself up, and I had to help her and just be there with her and help her, you know, figure out other ways to make money. Fortunately, influencer marketing was big at the time. She was doing really well with that. And then a year later, they try to get her back on the show as a friend. And I said, no, don't do it. You're just devaluing yourself. You're not going to be happy if you do this. And we got into a little fight about it because she was adamant, like, this is what she wants to do. This is her opportunity to go back. And I said, think about the setting, babe. You're going back to do the dirty work for another cast member on the show. And that's what you want to be known as. And we didn't talk for a day. The day came and went. The very next day, she's like, thank you so much for not letting me do that. Thank you so much for, you know, being there for me. And it was a tough moment, but it really helped her grow and realize what her true worth is, what her value is. And then I think about 6 months later, she got asked to go back on the show full time. And I'm like, well, it's your call. You know, this is your life. I'm here to support you any way you want. You're a lot smarter now. You've gone through hell and back with them. And yeah, I agree. You're really good at it. You are really good at it. So if that's what you want to do, let's do it. You know, I'm here for you, babe. And that's how she came back. And I regretfully came back, but I also had to, you know, change my attitude again. You know, I said, I have to be a part of this. And I tried to be a little bit more engaged this next round, primarily because the negative people, when those people were fired, that's when I felt more comfortable, you know, participating, you know, being, you know, engaged and asking questions about it. Right. So it's been a crazy, crazy experience. I don't know what it's going to be, but for me, I mean, we got a wedding special out of it.
Yeah. Which on the next show, we got to talk more about that wedding special and how that all came about. And I mean, we got so much to talk about. It's funny. I had the same thing, Eddie, where I think it was the second or third episode. Again, I was so shy and timid. Now I don't really have to do that anymore, but I would drink shots before I would start filming. So one day before we started filming, I took a bunch of shots and I was so wasted that at the end of the night, Teddy and I got in probably one of the biggest fights in our entire lives, and they never showed it. And I'm thinking it's because Teddy thinks there was cameras in the car.
Yeah,
I don't think there were, but she's like, yeah, they just didn't want to show it. But I mean, they could have made me look really, really bad. But I think that first year they tried making me look good or us good. And but the funny part about that is the next day we're going to film. So I go downstairs to go get my 1942, start serving myself some shots. And I'm like, this is water. And Teddy had refilled the whole thing with water. He's like, I don't want you drinking on this damn freaking show again. And that was pretty much the end of me drinking before we started filming. So
smart. Very smart.
Anyway, I figured I'd share that as we end the show.
Yes, yes. Good talk, man. That was awesome. I think
not a bad warm-up, right?
Not a bad warm-up. Not a first time. Not a bad first time. I think we're gonna have some questions for our listeners. I think they're gonna have a lot of questions for us. So
yeah.
If you enjoy the show and you have questions for us, please send them our way via email or Instagram. There's a lot of ways to send them over, even through our wives, because they're the ones that roped us into this.
Yeah. And please leave a review. And again, you could ask us any questions from faith, family, fitness, finance, fun, like anything you want, like just anything you want, and leave a review.
And one last thing.
We're not going to hold back with our answers either.
If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your friends. That's what's going to help us continue the show. So we're doing it to just share our experience, give you the male perspective on this whole housewife life.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Oh, and don't forget, leave a review. It's very important for us to know if we're doing something right or something wrong.
There we go.
We'll talk to you later then.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.